Hi, afternoon, Dave. We're here on the 2nd of February in the Gloucester Boys Bar at King's Home, and good to see you again.
And you're welcome.
Well, we're going to have a talk about the Rugby World Cup. Now it's well past us. So now it is over. How do you look back on the event, and particularly, the involvement of King's Home in it?
Well, I think, looking across the whole tournament, it was a quite a success, throughout the country. It worked well even in the football stadium. There was record crowds for all the games. And obviously, not only did we have good attendances in Gloucester at the stadium for our games, there was also fair attendance down at the quays for the fan zone.
Yeah, there's certainly a real buzz here at King's Home and right through Gloucester, wasn't there?
Oh, there was, yeah. I mean, and the council and that paid their fair part with it, decorating the sort of like the cross streets up, and obviously, like we just said, that the fan zone paid a big part for those that didn't get tickets or just wanted to watch it on a more casual basis, really.
Course, most of the Gloucester rugby staff were shipped out for the event, so to speak, and Rugby World Cup took over the King's Home ground, except for you and
Well,
your
yeah, there's
staff.
me and some obviously some of the ticket officing staff and other. I think there was a few from the commercial department still here, but yes, it's they came in a little bit en masse. They had a double size porta cabin in the car park. They also took over the Lion's Den and used that as a communications depot, and plus the accreditation unit they put in the former garage next door.
Being in charge of keeping things going at the stadium, were you able to appreciate the games yourself?
Yeah, because we were quite lucky because we had formed the debiting team for doing the sort of like the pre-match and the half-time debiting, and we luckily had seats right behind the goal in the JS stand. So yeah, we got quite a good view of the match and the atmosphere.
So there was a separate Rugby World Cup team in match control, was there?
Match control, yeah, that was obviously our operations department ran that with in conjunction with the equivalent operations people from the Rugby World Cup.
The divoting team was different to usual at King's Home. We don't see you doing that
Oh,
normally
I
at that
know.
time.
Yeah, the debiting team, obviously, that was something that was requested by the Rugby World Cup because, as you see, at all the international games at Twickenham, Millennium, and Murrayfield, you see the diviters on at half time. And we just used as many members of staff that we'd got, plus we've got a few from the locality. Mr. Geoffrey Swift, who was a former head groundsman at Cheltenham College, and Paul Hathaway that works at Cotswold Edge Golf Course.
When we first talked about the Rugby World Cup, which must have been back in 2013, you were saying then that you wanted to get plans in place well ahead. Did that work out well?
Yeah. I mean, you've got to give the Rugby World Cup people credit for what they did. They're forward thinking, that they were regular visitors to the stadium, if not here permanently. And we altered the pitch size, as you remember, the season before, and the famous goalposts from Fielding a Platt were removed and replaced with the rather flimsy international white ones.
Yeah, that wave about in the wind.
Yes.
And what's happened to the old posts?
The old ones, they're residing in the bottom of the car park at the moment.
Oh, has it been decided where they'll go yet?
Decisions are, I think maybe when we look to develop the new area at Gate One after the acquisition of the car garage, they may well end their life there. There was talk of the council were going to have them down the quays for the World Cup, but that never materialised. So
Right.
I'm awaiting instruction on that one, realistically.
Certainly be a shame if they don't have some future role.
Oh, I think they will. Yeah, it's just a matter of deciding what we do and to make it a final place for them, really.
But they won't go back on the pitch.
Not as I'm aware. No, I think it was sort of like a £5,000 plus job to put those posts in. So I don't see that we'll spend the same amount, because to get those out and put the others back in will be near enough the same cost.
How big was the Rugby World Cup delivery team that came into King's Home?
It varied. On a day-to-day basis, they probably had 20 people here working. But then on a match day or, days close to the game, that would, multiply up. And we were sort of like, there was in excess of, 300 people here, including, with all the volunteers and that went out around the town to guide people to the stadium, and also police people going to and from the fan zone.
And how different were the policing and stewarding activities for the Rugby World Cup?
It all ran smoothly as normal, but obviously with the terrorism threats and things like that, the stewarding team for the stadium and security was sort of like doubled on a match day. We have like 70 odd stewards here for our league games and stuff like that, but that was a sort of like 140 plus intensive bag searching, which complemented the extra stewards.
And how were the various tasks at King's Home divided up between yourselves and the Rugby World Cup people?
Realistically, our staff did most of what we normally do. We still provided the cleaners to clean through the stadium post-match and to maintain the cleanliness through the south stand and the west stand with the hospitality boxes. The only difference was leading up to the World Cup, obviously, they had teams of sign writers and that in to change all the advertising boards so that it was branded as a proper World Cup venue, and all the Gloucester signs that we use for normal games were all removed.